Welcome to Housing Developments.
I'm Jim Tobin.
And I'm Paul Lopez.
Paul, greetings.
Yeah, I feel a little disconnected here, right?
Like I know. We're not together in the studio. I'm on the road. You're holding things down back at the ranch, and it's only an audio podcast this week, unfortunately, to our faithful viewers.
That's right. No. Look, first of all, let's begin a big shout out to our sponsor, LG Pro Builder.
Yeah.
Let's build the good life together.
Let's build the good life together. Yeah. Thanks to LG.
That's right. So let's get into it. So I'm feeling like the theme of this podcast should be that housing continues its winning streak. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I guess we'll start with HMI. It came out earlier this week, up 3 points, but more importantly, over the magic number of 50, which puts our builders in the positive mood or positive territory. Obviously, a long way to go till we're kind of really fully got the sentiment humming. But across all three metrics, whether it's current conditions, traffic, or kind of looking that 6 months out, they were all up, I think, virtually across all the regions. So.
That's right.
I think you're right. Fourth month in a row, right? We're up. Good stuff.
Yeah, fourth month in a row, and the highest since July of last year. So that tells you that things are really kind of moving in the right direction consistently enough that our members are starting to see some good changes there. So
yeah, and I'm out on the road. I'm out in the Portland, Oregon area, and actually talking with some of our members. Out here, some are having a great quarter. First part of the year, and in Portland, you think it's a no growth area in state, but again, it's because our members are building new construction. It's the only game in town until interest rates settle in and existing homeowners feel comfortable moving out of those low rates that they're in, and being willing to take a chance on going to a little bit higher rate. But again, we've got to see rates continue down, which kind of leads us to the where the Fed was. So Paul, give us the recap of the Fed meeting this week.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, it was exactly what we could best hope for, right? They held steady. And more importantly, Chair Powell gave us the indication that there's still going to be rate cuts later in the year. I think they're playing it more in line with what we had predicted. And when I say we, I mean Dr.
Right.
Pete,
right.
That it was going to be more two rate cuts this year, more likely than the initial three and four that people were giddy about last year. So, but I think it calmed the markets enough that they realized that inflation is being tamed, but just not at the rate that we were expecting for initially. But it's still going in the right direction, and they do still expect to have those cuts. So I think that sent out a good message to both the market and to our members that things are moving in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, it's the stock market responded pretty positively, as you would imagine. But again, there was this kind of, I think, unrealistic expectation that they were going to start cutting rates here in the first quarter. And like Rob has said, it's going to be that second half, and hopefully we'll continue to see mortgage rates moderate as we get through the year and really end the year, down even from where we are today. And I think we're not quite over seven, right? But we're still kind of hovering, the high sixes.
Yeah, that's right. And the best news, I think, overall is the fact that when we looked at the data this week that came out in terms of starts and permits, they were perfectly in line with the NHB Wells Fargo Housing Market Index. So
yeah, that's right.
Overall, it was up 10.7% in February, but single family increased 11.6% to 1.13 million homes seasonally adjusted. So, and 35.2% over last year. So, I think things are moving much more positively in that consistent basis.
Yeah, and I think we'll go a little bit of context too, that this is also on the heels of the president's State of the Union speech, right? Where he clearly and for one of the few times, if not the only time I can remember, where housing actually had a little corner of the State of the Union speech, where the president talked about we need to build. And so you add on this kind of feeling from the bully pulpit of the White House, who understands that it really is supply. that we've got to find ways to get people into the market, you know, whether but more importantly, get our members to build all those homes that we need. Then you add on all the economic data, and you've got a recipe, I think, like you said, for that winning streak. It's been a pretty good couple weeks. We just got to keep on rolling.
Well, I mean, we got a new housing action plan for the new Democratic coalition that came out. It was, you know, we had to commend it, right? Because though it's not perfect, and there are certainly things that we didn't like about it, or that we're at least worried about it. You know, they did everything that we wanted to talk about, though, right? Job Corps, low income housing tax credit, you know, focusing on building materials, including transformers, all of that. Well, I think that's complete testament to Government Affairs and NHB, because not only did they come to us, you know, shopping it around beforehand, they also, you know, made sure that we were happy with it. And I think that's kudos to the team that's, you know, here in Washington pushing that out, because it came right out of our playbook.
Yeah, we talk a lot about making sure that NHB is seen as a resource, you know, and this is one of those instances where it reflects a lot of what we're working on, and a lot of you know, what we've been saying. Like you said, it's you know, we've always talked about housing being a bipartisan issue. No one party has the ability to claim it as their own, and it's great to see the Democrats, and certainly those moderate moderate new Dem coalition, you know, taking up the mantle of housing and really kind of drafting behind the president on this. So it was great. It's, you know, again, like you said, great work with Lake Colson, the government affairs team, obviously the policy teams that help put those the meat on the bones when we interact with our friends on Capitol Hill.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Now, you not only mentioned that you're in Oregon, but you've been traveling quite a bit after the Builder Show.
Yeah.
To get a vibe. I mean, is there anything else that you can report on? You know, that...
Yeah, I mean, we, you know, actually had the opportunity to go visit our the BIA of Hawaii over there, and it was it's obviously the terrible wildfire that destroyed the town of Lahaina on Maui, you know, and the tragedy that happened there, and talking about the rebuilding, and just listening to the issues that they have over there, obviously. The islands, you know, it's hard to get materials to the islands, you know, costs are expensive. Those things we know, but I think what struck me was, you know, how difficult it is to develop and build on the islands and create housing that is truly affordable for Hawaiians. And one of the issues that really affected me, or one of the conversation pieces that affected me, was that the Hawaiians, the Hawaiian culture it's a beautiful culture. It's so much part of their identity as anybody's culture is, but it seemed more so with the Hawaiians, that they are in fear of losing that culture because their children can no longer stay on the islands and thrive. That there, many of them are choosing to move to the mainland, and obviously they're taking their culture with them. But it's all about housing. There just isn't the ability for kids to stay there and live affordably in Hawaii, and it's driving them away. And so, you know, we're doing everything we can to help our BIA to bring, you know, some of the ideas that we have seen have been successful across the country to Hawaii about, you know, cutting permitting times down, you know, really leaning into affordability, and especially in the rebuilding of Lahaina. How do you create a resilient community that withstand potential wildfires, of course, climate change, you know, things that affect the islands in general. But how do we do that faster, and how do we do that more affordably? So, really, and you know, as I said to our Hawaiian members, I said, you know, you're not alone, number one, but number two, we hear this story all over the country. Any community I visit, there's always this undercurrent of people moving out of their communities, you know, whether it's policemen, police women, firefighters, teachers, nurses, children can't live in the communities they grew up. Grandparents can't be around their grandkids. You know, we have got to solve this housing problem as quickly as we can, and really get local governments to be partners, not only with us, but now with the president. I keep coming back to the president's State of the Union speech. In fact, he followed up with a trip to Nevada, talked about housing, but he really talked about the federal government using their to hold local governments' feet to the fire, because we all know that that's where the land use decisions are made and should be made. But there are so many communities out there that are not partners and do not want any part of housing affordability.
Yeah, and despite how great the momentum is with housing right now, you know, it's still a long path to where we need to be, and right. We're going to continue the drumbeat. I know that we're working at NHB to make sure that between now and especially the elections, you know, the presidential elections in November, that we continue to beat that drum fairly steadily. Yep. I think we have a great momentum, like you kept saying, in terms of the State of the Union speech, but we need to not only ride that momentum, but create our own, you know, surf there to make sure that we write it in and get that message out, so it doesn't get lost as we get closer to the election cycle.
Yeah, agreed. You know, one quick thing, just on a policy front, I think it's worth shouting out, because all of our listeners have been following along with this one every week, and that is the Job Corps, the defunding of the Job Corps program. You know, it's one of the most important programs for workforce development, certainly at-risk youth. HBI, or the Home Builders Institute, NHB's workforce development partner, is the largest contractor for Job Corps sites across the country, teaching those valuable skills that we so desperately need to build homes. Proud to say that the Congress is about to pass their appropriations bills with a fully funded Job Corps. Big shout out to Blake and Sam and the gang for everybody who worked so hard over these months to get that fully funded. We had a black in a few eyes, if I can say that, along the way, and stand our ground in order to make sure this is fully funded, and we should get that bill to the president's desk in the next couple of days. But yeah, big win for the industry, and flood insurance is part of that, making sure the flood insurance program is continued. So finally, as ridiculous as this sound, the FY 2004 fiscal year is now most of 6 months old, and yes, it is finally funded. And guess what? We'll be back at it sometime in the very near future to work out the next set of appropriations bills. It's getting absurd.
I'm shocked to see get established.
Yeah. So, but yeah, big shout out to the government affairs team and everybody who pulled this out for Ed Brady and the HBI crew, and to make sure they continue their good work.
Yeah, 100%. And hopefully, in the coming weeks, we'll have more and more good news to report on housing. And if there's no good news, we'll tell you how we're trying to use the weight of NHB to make those changes. So
yeah, like I said, a lot of momentum. We always talk about 24 is kind of, I could talk about this. This is the pivot year. This is the year where interest rates start to moderate. But more importantly, and I would tell all of our building material friends and our associates out there who do such a great job supporting the builders and the industry, this is the year to start planning and to get ready, because as Rob Dietz will tell you, 2025 to 2030 are really going to be some great years for home building, and what we want to make sure is that every corner of the industry is prepared for that, and we don't want to see materials price spikes, we want to see delays, we want to really reach our full potential and really put some units in the ground over these next several years and fully meet demand.
Absolutely. Well, look, man, safe travels back.
Yeah, I'll see you in the office next week.
See you in the office next week. But I know you've been in a kind of a whirlwind tour fighting the fight. So, best wishes and safe travels.
Thanks, you too.
Another big shout out to LG Pro Builder.
Let's build a good life together.
That's it.
Yeah.
But I think that's it for this week.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. Well, until next time, I'm Jim Tobin.
And I'm Paul Lopez. Take care.
Bye.